bring you greetings in the name of Jesus. I'm glad to be here today. Welcome all of you, friends and visitors. God bless you for coming. Maybe some of you knew the service that was happening today. Maybe some of you didn't, but we welcome you here. I invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 20 for a message this morning. There's one verse here that has come to my mind as I thought about the service this morning. And I also seek an interest in your prayers as I endeavor to deliver what God has laid on my heart. Acts chapter 20 is Paul's exhortation, verses 17 to 38, is Paul's address to the Ephesian elders that he gave before his departure to Jerusalem. Now, as I read this portion of Scripture, I thought, well, there's some things here that do fit in our service this morning, and there's definitely some things that do not fit. And I would just like to, I'm not going to read this whole chapter. I'd like to pick out one verse and open up that verse for our comfort and encouragement today. Paul's talking to the elders. He calls them together and he reminisces about his labors among them and of the burden he had for them. He warns them to take heed to themselves and to feed the church of God, of whom they have been appointed overseers. He warns them of what he foresees happening among them, even among the elders. And he says that he sees that after his departure, grievous wolves are going to come in among them. And I'm thankful that I stand here today and I do not foresee that here at Elm Street. That doesn't fit in our service this morning. I do not foresee that after my departure here that grievous wolves are going to come in and destroy the flock. I do not foresee that. Furthermore, I do not stand here saying of all the good that I have done, I feel it was very small in reality to the work that is to be done. There's no great things that my labors have accomplished. So I didn't think that really fit either. But the situation was nonetheless a painful one for them. It was a painful one. It was a time of change. They gathered together and they prayed. And God blessed them. I'd like to read verse 32. I'd like to draw my thoughts from verse 32 of Acts chapter 20. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I enjoyed that verse, and I studied that verse. And if you want to write down a title, it's simply this: Brethren, I commend you to God. I commend you to God. I would like to look at three different parts here in the sermon today. First one is commended to God, building in grace, and inheriting the blessing. I'd like to look at those three points as we think of the service this morning. Brethren, I commend you to God. I looked up the word commend. Commend simply means entrusting. It means placing alongside of. So in essence, this morning, I take my charge and I give it to God. It's painful. But I commend you to God. As I thought of commending you to God today, you know, when you build a house, you seek out a builder. You search out a builder and you sit with him and you tell him your plans. You tell him what you would like to have done. You want this room here and this room here. You would like the laundry here. You want ample room. You tell him what you want done, and then he draws a blueprint, or he gets someone to draw the blueprint. But in that process, you're entrusting the building of the house to the builder. You're entrusting him to build according to the blueprint. For me, if I was building a house and I would want to build it in my own way, I wouldn't know how to read the blueprint. Things would get very unsquare and unlevel for me. I do not know how to read blueprints, but the builder does. Commending to God today, God knows. God is the builder. He is a safe God that we can commend our lives to. And these situations, not just the one that we're looking at this morning, but various situations of life, we commend them to God. I thought of the Good Samaritan when he was traveling on the road and he came by the person who was injured and badly hurt. And he bandaged up his wounds and he put him on his own donkey and he took him to the inn. And then he commended him. The Bible doesn't say that, but I like to think of it that way. He commended him into the care of the innkeeper. Take care of him until I come back to you again. It's needful in situations that are beyond our ability, and there's so many of them. It's needful that we commend and we trust them into the hand of God. Place alongside of. God is well able. Well, you see, as the builder builds, as he follows the blueprint and the owners of the property are entrusting the builder to follow the blueprint, they're trusting him. There comes a time when the house is completed. And then there comes a time when the house is occupied, it's lived in. In the case of our lives, God owns us. Excuse me. God owns us. He is the one who has drawn the blueprint for all of us. He has a plan for all of our lives. He is drawing the blueprint. He knows exactly how to place the walls. He knows exactly what bricks to put where and what 2x4s to put where. He knows exactly how strong the floor needs to be. Can we trust his ability to lead? Can we trust his ability to build? Yes, we can. I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalm 100. We'll be turning to a number of scriptures this morning. I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 100. I was encouraged by this Psalm, Psalm 100, and verses 3 to 5. I commend you, brethren, to God today. And thinking about, is he a safe one to commend to? And yes, he is. We can trust our situation to his hand. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The Lord is good. It is God that has made us. And that's my burden today. While today we experience pain in our family, and as I hear you talk, the congregation is experiencing some pain as well. But can we focus beyond the pain and focus on knowing that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And he has a design, a sovereign design of our lives. And can we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise? For the Lord is good. God is good all the time. And I have confidence that the Lord will raise up again in your midst a leader who will serve the congregation here. I have that confidence. But you see, we need to wait upon God. It takes time for the house to be built. It takes time. But in that process, we must continue to commend ourselves to God. Commend ourselves to God. It is my prayer that you, dear souls, would experience the grace and comfort of God in a special way through this time, and that God would be near to you. I thought of the account of 2 Kings 6, where Elisha and his servant were facing the army of the Syrians. And Elisha's servant said, "Alas, master, how shall we do? What shall we do?" But Elisha prays to God and he says, "Just open his eyes that he can see." And Elisha's words to his servant were, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And we can look at situations in life and we can think, "Wow, how am I going to go on? This is going to destroy me." But to the child of God, the Lord is good. More are they that be with us than they that be with them. Stay comforted in that today. God does not seek to destroy his people in any way, but he seeks to have them grow in faith in him. The God we serve is a mighty God. He is the creator God. We saw that in Psalm 100. He is the creator God. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. He is the sustaining God. He is the one who provides for our needs, sustains us. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He restores our soul. He is the rewarder God. He rewards those. 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him." For those that love him. So, brethren, this morning, and when I say brethren, I mean all of you, I commend you to God. He is well able. I commend you to God. Young ones, little ones, I have so many little friends here at church. I'm going to miss you, but I commend you to God. I enjoyed very much meeting the little ones after church. Oh, it was so much fun. Hearing their hearts and what they had going, you know. It was so rewarding. I commend you to God. Young people, middle-aged grandparents, God cares for you. I'd like to move on to building in grace. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Which is able to build you up. I thought about that for a while and pondered that. What does that mean? Commending to God and the word of his grace, the scripture is alluding to the fact that both of these are involved in building us up. You see, God's desire is, I believe, that we would be built up. So if we can use the analogy or the type of building a house. So have you ever seen a house that was... And one comes to my mind right now, close to our place for years, there close to Middle Creek Wildlife area there. There was a house that was started, the building process was started. The foundations were laid, and but that was all. And for years, the house project, building project, just stayed like that. And I learned later that it was a divorce situation. But the house, it just stayed there. It wasn't continuing to be built up. Brothers and sisters, today, God's desire for us is that we would continue to be built up. That our house would continue to develop. That the walls would continue to be built, and that the drywall will be placed in, and the trim, and that the mottos will come on the wall, and that the roof will come overhead, and we will continue to be built up. And I believe that is a lifelong process of building. A lifelong process. As long as life endures, we're reminded this past number of weeks of those who God has chosen to take from us. And I believe God has looked down and said, your work is finished. Come home. But until that time, God's calling us to be built up. You know, there are some houses that are built up. There are some houses that are torn down. There are some houses that are falling apart because of a lack of maintenance, but you would never find that with our God. God will never allow our house to fall apart because of lack of maintenance on his part or a lack of care. But perhaps on our part, we neglect some of the things that are for us to do in relation to keep our house in order. Building in grace. Now, I don't know if I can convey to you my inspiration that I received in this, but I will try. And to the word of his grace, word means, the Greek word for word here is logos, L-O-G-O-S. It's logos, which means an expression of thought, motive. Businesses have logos. They have signs out, and it's a logo. If you see a Martin Appliance truck, you see the logo, Martin Appliance, and it's an expression of thought. You know, oh, Martin Appliance, yes. You might see another sign. And seeing the sign, if you know anything about it, you know things come to your mind. It's an expression of thought. There's more behind it. The word of his grace, being built up by the word of his grace. Today, where would I be? Where would I be, or you be, if it was not for the work of grace? If it were not for the work of grace, the grace of God passed out upon man is the call of the gospel. The gift of grace to man is the seedbed by which man can grow in relationship with God through sanctification and so on. The word of his grace. So brothers today and sisters, young ones, grandparents and all, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You see, God extends to us the grace needed whereby we can build in him. Grace is unmerited favor. If I do not continue to build, it's not God's fault. If my house does not continue to be built, my life, the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, it's not God's fault. God gives grace. The Bible says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Let's turn to that. Titus chapter 2. We're talking about being built up, building in grace. Building in grace. I commend you to God, yes, but continue to build. Continue to build. Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 to 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now notice, these are, I don't know if you call them warnings or challenges, principles for us. They're our responsibility, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Building in grace. The grace of God has appeared to all men. Bring us salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. The word of his grace. God gives us grace. He gives us the ability, or He gives us the desire to please Him. And we please Him by walking circumspectly. But things in life, yes, we make judgment calls. We discern. And we do not just take life just as it comes, and just whatever comes, whatever goes, everything goes. But we have principles we live by. Building in grace means that we will be building on the principles of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Jesus Christ. We will build on the principles of Jesus Christ. And while traditions may change depending upon culture, the principles never change. In an active building project, there is change that is seen. The change that is seen is progressively bringing the building toward completion. And as I look at my life, and as you look at your life, and we look back, have we grown? Has there been progressive change toward God in our life, in my life? Has there been change? Growing in grace. Another exhortation, turn me to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. We're talking about building in grace. Verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cultivate in your life. I need to cultivate in my life the gifts. Giving all diligence to add these things in our lives. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Building in grace. And in the church life here at Elm Street, I have seen these qualities and have enjoyed them. There's been many, many things that I could highlight and I could reflect a bit on. I will just name a few of the things that our family has enjoyed. A church family that loves the Lord. We felt that here. A church family that loves and cares for each other. A church family that includes a good mix of children, youth, young parents, middle age, and grandparents, and how they all blend together and helping each other, and giving input into each other's lives. We learn so much from each other. We have appreciated the encouragement and contributions of so many of you in our lives. We thank you. So many things that you have done for us. Some of those things we know who the givers were, but a lot of them we do not know. We do not know, and we just thank you for it. But it's living out growing in grace. It's living out the Scriptures. We appreciated the contribution of the widows of the congregation into our lives. Their encouragement was very much appreciated. Their giving to us, their praying, their words of encouragement, so their praying for us was very encouraging. I too have enjoyed working with the fellow ministry here. It was very rewarding, very enjoyed it very much, and I've learned to appreciate each one of them in a special way. Each one of them has special gifts, and I enjoyed and valued their input. I enjoyed seeing God at work in the lives of individuals. I regret that I did not pray more for the needs in the congregation. Yes, we prayed for the needs, but I regret that I didn't pray more. And we still can pray. May God bless you as you grow and build in grace. I also regret that we didn't get around to visit each of you. I think there's quite a few of you that we may have not visited. I regret that. I'm not going to make a lot of excuses. But maybe we can come and see you later. We do look forward to coming back and sharing here again. Those details of how that wall look are still being worked out. And may God bless you in that. I would like to look now at the last part, just the conclusion part of this sermon. Thank you for your prayers. I can feel it. Inheriting the blessing, Colossians 6 and verse 9, or Galatians 6, 9. I'm just going to turn there. You do not need to, but can if you care to. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, brothers and sisters, we shall reap if we faint not. There is coming a day when we shall reap. Now we do reap here in life today. There are things that we reap. We know the law of sowing and reaping, but we reap. There's enjoyment in serving. Enjoyment in serving. You know, never think that your service goes unnoticed, or your sacrifice or your giving goes unnoticed if it's not something huge and big. You know, if God prompts you to give a word, give a word of encouragement. It can change the outlook of the day. Just a simple word. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. There is coming an eternal reaping. There is coming an eternal inherited blessing for the child of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe one of the inheritance given the child of God is eternal life. The promise of eternal life, the life in heaven. This life is present, I believe, in the believer today as he gives his heart to God. That earnest, the Holy Spirit in his life is the down payment or the token of the entrance to heaven and the blessing beyond. Acts 20 and verse 32. Maybe I should just turn back to that. Our text verse. Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Someday, the congregations of the Church of Jesus Christ will be called home. Will be called home. Whether it's Chapel or Elm Street or Sotara, they will be called home. How will it be? How will it be? I do not believe we'll sit together as congregations in heaven. I believe we will be one body. And I think as we view the work of the Lord today on earth, I think it's helpful for us to view it also in that way. We're one body. God's work is beyond my imagination. What God has in store for you to do, just maybe God is going to call you to go to Nigeria or Canada or maybe Lancaster City. But it's all God's work. It's all God's work. I believe the ultimate inheritance of the sanctified saints will be experiencing the glories of living in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Living in the presence of God. I want to conclude. These will be my concluding thoughts. I'd like you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 1 to 8 without making further comment. Leave this for an encouragement to you, a comfort for all of us together. We're moving towards this time. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Notice, this is what I want you to notice. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let us kneel to pray.